Welcome to Zichron Daf Simani Mamre by Ram Goldai and Thayer Mazakas Baba Kama Daf Test. The first parak, Arba Avos. The first parak is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Moshe and Devorah Smith and is dedicated to our courageous soldiers of Tzahal, the remarkable citizens of Israel, and to all incredible Jewish people. May Kodesh Baruch Hu watch over all of us and grant Israel a complete victory over Hamas and the return of all the hostages safely. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, if brothers divided their father's estate and the father's creditor collected his debt from one brother, Rav says, Batal Machlokas, the division is void and the remaining estate is redivided. Shmuel says, Viter, he has forgone his share and has no claim against his brother. Rav Asi says, Notu Raviyah Bakarku Raviyah Bamos, he takes one quarter of land from his brother, or his brother may give him the value of one quarter of the field in money. Rav holds, Achim Shechalku Kiyoshim Hafu, brothers who divide an estate are considered like heirs and jointly own the father's debts. If it was collected from one, he must be compensated as if he never received a share. Shmuel holds are considered lukuchos, purchasers of their shares from one another, and additionally are like purchasers without guarantee of compensation. So whichever land was taken, that brother has no claim against the other. Rav Asi is uncertain whether they're like yorshin or lukuchos, so he may only demand half compensation, which is a quarter of the other brother's share. Additionally, he holds the brother may choose to pay with money instead of land. Point number two, Rabbi Zera quoted Rav Huna, the mitzvah ad shlish, one spends up to a third on a mitzvah. Now, this cannot mean that one must spend a third of his total assets on a mitzvah, because then one would have to spend his entire estate on three mitzvahs. Rabbi Zera clarified, behider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. Regarding beautification of a mitzvah, one must spend up to a third of the cost of the mitzvah itself. Rav Ashi asked, shlish mulgab or shlish mulabar? Is this a third calculated from the inside, meaning an additional third above the original amount, or is it calculated from the outside, meaning an additional half, which amounts to a third of the combined total? The question is left unresolved. In Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zera was quoted as saying, ad shlish mishalo, up to a third must be funded from one's own assets, mekan ve'elach mishal kodesh baruch hu. From there on, if he spends more, it will be funded, so to speak, reimbursed from kodesh baruch hu. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, kol shechavti b'shmiraso, anything I am obligated to guard from damaging, yiksharti es nisko, I have caused the damage it does if I did not guard it adequately. A braisa illustrates this. Shor ubor shemasnu lecher shot v'katan, an ox or pit that one left under the watch of a deaf mute, an insane person, or a minor, he's responsible for their damages. If he left a fire under their watch, he's exempt from its damages. The distinction is explained in two ways. According to Reish Lakish, who holds one responsible for a flame he handed to an incompetent person, this case must be a mir gachelas, a coal, and the parallel cases are a tied up ox and covered pit. Now the difference is, shor darche l'natuke, an ox tends to loosen itself from its bonds, bor darche l'nature, and a pit's cover tends to become dislodged, so the safeguards were insufficient, whereas a coal, the longer it's left alone, ma'amya amya ba'azla, it progressively dims, and he didn't cause the damage. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who exempts even from damages from a flame left with them, the parallel case would be an untied ox, an uncovered pit. The difference between them is that regarding a flame, tzavz de cherish kagarn, the deaf mute's handling caused the damage and not the owner's negligence, whereas the unguarded ox and pit damaged without any action from the incompetent person. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, if brothers divided their father's estate and the father's creditor collected his debt from one brother, Rav says, batel machlokas, the division is void and the remaining estate is redivided. Shmuel says, viter, he has forgone his share and has no claim against his brother. Rav Asi says, Notu Raviyah Bakarku Raviyah Bamos, he takes one quarter of land from his brother, or his brother may give him the value of one quarter of the field in money. Rav holds, Achim Shechalku Kiyoshim Hafu, brothers who divide an estate are considered like heirs and jointly own the father's debts. If it was collected from one, he must be compensated as if he never received a share. Shmuel holds are considered lukuchos, purchasers of their shares from one another, and additionally are like purchasers without guarantee of compensation. So whichever land was taken, that brother has no claim against the other. Rav Asi is uncertain whether they're like yorshin or lukuchos, so he may only demand half compensation, which is a quarter of the other brother's share. Additionally, he holds the brother may choose to pay with money instead of land. Point number two, Rabbi Zera quoted Rav Huna, the mitzvah ad shlish, one spends up to a third on a mitzvah. Now, this cannot mean that one must spend a third of his total assets on a mitzvah, because then one would have to spend his entire estate on three mitzvahs. Rabbi Zera clarified, behider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. Regarding beautification of a mitzvah, one must spend up to a third of the cost of the mitzvah itself. Rav Ashi asked, Shishmol Gab or Shishmol Abar? Is this a third calculated from the inside, meaning an additional third above the original amount? Or is it calculated from the outside, meaning an additional half, which amounts to a third of the combined total? The question is left unresolved. In Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zera was quoted as saying, "Ad shlish mishalo, up to a third, must be funded from one's own assets. Mekan ve'elok mishal Kodesh Baruch Hu. From there on, if he spends more, it will be funded, so to speak, reimbursed from Kodesh Baruch Hu." And point number three, the next Mishnah states, "Kol shechavti b'shmiraso, anything I am obligated to guard from damaging, yiksharti es nisko, I have caused the damage it does if I did not guard it adequately." A braisa illustrates this. Shor ubor shemasnu lecher shot v'katan, an ox or pit that one left under the watch of a deaf mute, an insane person, or a minor, he's responsible for their damages. If he left a fire under their watch, he's exempt from its damages. The distinction is explained in two ways. According to Reish Lakish, who holds one responsible for a flame he handed to an incompetent person, this case must be a mere gecheles, a coal, and the parallel cases are a tied up ox and covered pit. Now the difference is, shor darchei l'natuke, an ox tends to loosen itself from its bonds, bor darchei l'nature, and a pit's cover tends to become dislodged, so the safeguards were insufficient, whereas a coal, the longer it's left alone, ma'amya amya va'azla, it progressively dims, and he didn't cause the damage. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who exempts even from damages from a flame left with them, the parallel case would be an untied ox, an uncovered pit. The difference between them is that regarding a flame, tzavas d'cheresh kagarn, the deaf mute's handling caused the damage and not the owner's negligence, whereas the unguarded ox and pit damaged without any action from the incompetent person. All right, so now we get our siman daf tes, and our standard siman is a teapot or tea, because tes is a tustan like teapot, and a tes sort of looks like a teapot. So here goes. The brothers sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they were like Yorshin or Lekuchos after dividing their father's estate were interrupted by one brother who entered the room with an esrog, which he spent a third more on, who asked them if it was really wise to leave their children to guard over a shore, a boar, and a burning coal. Once again, slow motion. The brothers sitting around drinking tea. Tea, that must be on daf. Tess, tea, teapot. The brothers sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they were like Yorshin or Lekuchos after dividing their father's estate, which reminds us there's a machlokas if brothers who divide an estate are like Yorshin or Lekuchos. The nafka mina is the case where brothers divided their father's estate and the father's creditor collected his debt from one brother. If they're like Yorshin, this brother can be compensated, but if they're like Lekuchos, then he doesn't get anything. So the brothers sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they're like Yorshin or Lekuchos after dividing their father's estate were interrupted by one brother who entered the room with an esrog, which he spent a third more on, which reminds us Rabbi Zera taught, behider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. Regarding hider mitzvah, one must spend up to a third of the cost of the mitzvah itself. And he was quoted as saying, ad shlish mishalo, up to a third must be funded from one's own assets, mekan ve'elok mishal Kodesh Baruch Hu. From there on, if he spends more, it will be funded, meaning reimbursed, from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the brothers sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they were like Yorshin or Lekuchos after dividing their father's estate were interrupted by one brother who entered the room with an esrog, which he spent a third more on, who asked them if it was really wise to leave their children to guard over a shore, a boar, and a burning coal, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Kol shechavti b'shmiraso, anything I am obligated to guard from damaging, yiksharti es nizko, I have caused the damage it does if I did not guard it adequately. A braisa illustrates this. Shor ubor shemasnu lecher shot v'katan, an ox or pit that one left under the watch of a deaf mute, an insane person, or a minor, he's responsible for their damages. If he left a fire under the watch, he's exempt from its damages. The distinction is explained in two ways. So once again, the brothers sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they're like Yorshin or Lekuchos after dividing their father's estate were interrupted by one brother who entered the room with an esrog, which he spent a third more on, who asked them if it was really wise to leave their children to guard over a shore, a boar, and a burning coal. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf hay. So the simmer daf hay is a haystack. So here goes. The excluded Moser and Mafago who hid behind the haystack, that must be more daf hay. The excluded Moser and Mafago who hid behind the haystack, which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya's list of 24 avos is coming to exclude a Moser and Mafago, an informer who causes someone's possessions to be confiscated, and one who makes someone's carbon pigel. He didn't list Mafago because he doesn't discuss damages specific to Kadshim, and he didn't list a Moser, an informer, because this damage is inflicted through speech alone, Ubi Dibura Lo Kamairi, and he doesn't discuss damage inflicted through speech. Mosi Shemra was included because it involves a Maisa, and Eim Zomi was included because the Torah refers to it as an action in the Pasuk. pasuk la'asos. So they excluded Moshe and Mephago, who hid behind a haystack, so they wouldn't have to pay from Meitav, like all 24 avos, which reminds us, the Gemara asks that although the term avos in our Mishnah is understandable, because the four avos all have todos, subcategories, but according to Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Chia, who list avos which do not have any todos, in what sense are they called avos? Rabbi Abo answers, kulun ka avos l'shom meitav. They're all like avos, in that they must pay from superior great land. So they excluded Moser and Mephago, who hid behind a haystack, so they wouldn't have to pay from Meitav, like all 24 avos. Notice the man who was about to fall into a bor because he was distracted reading a sign that explained the unique halachos of each of the arba avos, which reminds us, although the avos can be derived from bor and one other av, they were all written with hilchosen to teach their unique halachos. Dav vav, so the simmer dav vav is a sword, because a vav is straight, like a sword. So here goes. The man who broke his leg when he tripped over the hefker sword. Sword? That must be on dav vav. The man who broke his leg when he tripped over the hefker sword, which had been kicked by a cow's foot, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what case is included by the Mishnah's tzadah shava between multiple avos, but is not identical to any one of? Four answers are given. Rava says, it's to include a pit, a stationary object, which is ruled by men's feet or animals' feet. Whereas with boar, his actions directly caused the damage by digging the pit. Here, his actions did not directly cause the damage. Rather, it was the people's or animals' feet, which moved the obstacle to where it eventually inflicted damage. Shor proves that even such damages, which come through his animals' actions, not his, are still liable. So the man who broke his leg when he tripped over the hefker sword, which had been kicked by a cow's foot, and landed right next to a wall that was built to stand, but collapsed and crushed a car, which reminds us, Ravina says, the tzad shava comes to include the case of a mission which teaches, HaKosova Ilan Shanafu Rishus Rabim Heziku, a wall or tree which fell into Rishus Rabim and damaged, if it fell after the given time period to remove it and cause damage, Tosus explains that it damaged while it was falling, he's chayev. It cannot be compared to boar, which is prone to damage from its beginning when it's dug, because when the tree was planted or the wall was built, they were built to stand and not liable to fall. Shor, which is also not originally prone to damage, proves that one is even chayev for such damages. So the man who broke his leg when he tripped over the hefker sword, which had been kicked by a cow's foot, and landed right next to a wall that was built to stand but collapsed and crushed a car, asks the Dayan walking by if B'din Nizak Shaminin or B'din Mazik Shaminin. Which reminds us, we have a machlokes regarding Meitav. Rabbi Shmuel holds B'din Nizak Shaminin. We assess Meitav based on the damaged party's properties, meaning the responsible party must only pay from land of equal quality to the damaged party's highest grade property. And Rabbi Kivik holds B'din Mazik Shaminin. We assess Meitav based on the damager's properties, meaning that he must pay with the highest grade land he himself owns. Dav Zayin. So the Simmer Dav Zayin is a Kli Zayin, a gun. So here goes. The wealthy gun novice, that must mean we're on Dav Zayin, Kli Zayin, gun. The wealthy gun novice who paid a man with subin for damages he caused when he accidentally shot up his field, which reminds us, we learn from the unusual term yashiv, return, l'rabu shava kesev v'afio subin, to include anything worth money as valid payment, even bran, and not just meitav. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua explain, kol mili meitavu, all movable items are considered superior. The old mizdabin hach, mizdabin masa charisi, because if it cannot be easily sold here, it can be sold in another city. Superior quality payment is only required with the land, which cannot be moved, so that people would jump to buy it. So the wealthy gun novice who paid a man with subin for damages he caused when he accidentally shot up his field, which is worth less than 200 zuzin tishrei, entitling the man to Maiser Ani, which reminds us, a brisa states that if one owns land worth 200 zuz, which ordinarily disqualifies him from receiving Maiser Ani, but is unable to sell his property, we feed him Maiser Ani up until half the value of his fields. The brisa refers to seasonal price changes, where land increases in value in Nisan, where a buyer can plow and plant it for the coming season, and decreases in Tishrei. This person who is pressed for money would have to sell his land now at less than 200 zuz, and can be viewed as a poor person, although it would be sold for more in Nisan. Since land prices declined by as much as half in Tishrei, that's how much Maaser Ani he may receive. So the wealthy gun novice who paid a man with subin for damages he caused when he accidentally shot up his field, which was worth less than 200 zuz in Tishrei, entitling the man to Maaser Ani, had an armed guard protecting the best land he owned, which otherwise would have been used to pay as Meitav, which reminds us, Rosh Shmuel Bar Abba from Akronia asked Rabbi Abba, can Shehen Shamin, when they assess land to determine if it's Meitav, B'Shalohen Shamin, do they assess in terms of his own property, or B'Shal Olam Hen Shamin, or do they assess in terms of the world generally? According to Rabbi Akiva, that Meitav is assessed based on the land of the Mazik, which is being paid. Does it mean that he pays with the best land that he personally owns, or simply with objectively superior lands, even if he has other land of even higher quality? Rabbi Abba responded, Rachman Amr Meitav Sadehu, Hashem said to pay with his choicest field. And you suggest we assess in terms of the world generally? Rather, he definitely must pay with the best land he personally owns. Daf Ches. So the Simmer Daf Ches is challah, and we often use a baker. So here goes. The baker, that must mean we're Daf Ches, challah. The baker who bought Beinoni's Ziboris and then Edie's land from the same seller to build a bakery and was now trying to fend off the seller's Balchov, Nizak, and ex-wife who wanted to collect from the Edie's, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a purchaser of all grades of land on different days where he bought the Edie's last, and we learn that he can prevent the Ksuba and debt collections from the Edie's. So the baker who bought Beinoni's Ziboris and then Edie's land from the same seller to build a bakery and was now trying to fend off the seller's Balchov, Nizak, and ex-wife who wanted to collect from the Edie's, wish he would have only bought Edie's and Ziboris so he could tell the Balchov to collect Beinoni's from the debtor, which reminds us, Rava says that if Reuven sold all his fields to Shimon, and Shimon then sold one of them to Levi, and Reuven's creditor came to collect his debt, if he wants, he can collect from Shimon, or if he wants, he can collect from Levi. Now, this is only true where Levi bought Beninis from Shimon, which is the creditor's entitlement. But if he bought Edie's and Ziboris, Levi could say to him, this is why I was careful and only bought Edie's and Ziboris, which are lands that are not fit for you. So the baker bought Beinoni's Ziboris and then Edie's land from the same seller to build a bakery and was now trying to fend off the seller's Balchov, Nizak, and ex-wife who wanted to collect from the Edie's, wished he would have only bought Edie's and Ziboris so he could tell the Balchov to collect Beinoni's from the debtor and was delighted when the debtor tried to intercede and claim he already paid, which reminds us, a seller can intercede where his creditor attempts to collect from the buyer, either because the buyer will then come to collect from him, or in a case where he sold the property without a chrayus, he doesn't want the buyer to have complaints against him.